You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17. Dealt with the age-old question, what does God want me to do? And we made mention of the fact that he said in answer to that, work out your own salvation. Because God is at work in you to do the thing that is necessary in his purposes, according to his good pleasure, not yours. That is, every day there should be an tally, an account of the activity of God in your life, both in retrospect and in what God would have you to be this particular day that you live in. And if you're walking with that belief that he will be faithful, in the place where you are, that's where you begin. And you're looking to him to energize you for that day. Therefore, you need to be alert to whatever God puts in your path. If you do that, I guarantee you'll be doing what God wants. In order, that doesn't take a lot of planning. But every day that needs to be accounted for. And so if you do that, you find that you will be in the will of God. And that will sometime lead to suffering, because it does not allow you, it does allow you to make the choice, but it does not allow you to do just any old thing you want, but you're looking to please him. And there is rewards for suffering, because we learned last week, if we deny him in this and go our own way, he'll deny us to rule with him. Same time, he will not deny himself. It won't affect your salvation, but it sure will affect the rewards of it. Now today, in our lesson in Colossians, you'll notice since, or if you be risen with Christ, or assuming that you are risen with Christ. So we're assuming that to begin with. Of course, if you're not risen with him, then this is not anything for you. But if you belong to him, you've been identified with him in his resurrection, then you're working in the atmosphere of the things above. Therefore, you need to set your affection on these things. This will give you a little key to your own walk. Where are your affections throughout the day? You see, it's hard for us to realize when Christ was resurrected, he was seated, as it says, at the right hand of the Father. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that translation. But the thought I want you to implant in your mind is the best I know how. It's you're seated in a place where Christ is, and Christ is seated in a place not based upon anything except his right to sit there. He has a right to sit there. If you've been raised with Christ, you have a right. People are all talking about their rights. Now, here's a right you can really throw to the high heavens. If you really believe that, you're there because of your rights. And what are your rights? They're all in Christ. See, that's why it says you have died. Not that you aren't dead, but you have died. And you're now alive with him in the place where he is, and he's seated in his rights, and you're exalted there with him. So you have the rights, see. These are inalienable rights. They don't come from anybody except your belief that God has done that for you. You're seated there with him. We've been raised and seated together with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. If you want your proof, believe that. Now, in that light, recognize these are facts, and your life is hid. You don't even know what's going on yourself. God knows. If you recognize that calling and that high exalted place that He's put you in, it isn't hidden from Him. He knows what's going on because He's the master workman. It's He who is working out your plan of salvation. You see, when God saved you, what He did, He saved you right off the bat from the guilt of sin. That's, as Tommy was mentioning this morning, about east and west. That's removed as far as the east is from the west. Not how far it is from the north to the south, but how far it is from the east to west. Hidden in the deepest sea, never to be remembered. That's a settled issue. He saves you from the guilt of sin. He is now saving you from the presence, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. One day, when you drop this body of death, you'll be saved from the presence of sin. Salvation is a progressive thing. It's as sure as Christ is. Therefore, set your affection on the reality of what God is looking, how God is seeing things, not only reality of life here so much. And when this become realized in experiments after that song we say as the sun goes or the close of the day, after it's all over, then you realize it. See, hope, we hope for this because if hope we have it now, we don't realize it. Because we're not there. I'm up here sitting on this stool, you're sitting out there, and yet I'm there as far as God is concerned. And don't ask me to explain that. But one day, that word appear, it should be translated, made manifest. Because He does not have to appear down here to be made manifest. But we will be made manifest when you notice whereabouts in glory. That's where you'll really be made manifest. And in light of these facts, now, he gets down to the practical side. I having a conversation this week with a young man. He said, Mac, what do you do about the feelings you have sometime when you see an attractive woman and you're really attracted by her? You see, if you were a Romanist and you were a sincere, good Roman Catholic and you went to the priest and confessed that fact, he'd give you penance to do. But the Bible doesn't think about repentance. It's talking about repent. I mean, turn your thinking around. It begins first in the mind. The things we need to repent of first come to the mind, and then they come to the heart. That's the emotional side. See, the mind is an intellectual approach to these things. And that's why he's approaching intellectually. And then it moves from the intellectual down to the heart, or rather I should say up to the heart, which is an emotional thing. Because outside of our heart, the emotions out of that is what flow, you see, the energies. Then there comes a reality. That's volition. When you make the choice, that's your will. You see? Now that's the way sin works. And I start with that because that's the first thing he mentions, fornication. Why does he put that first? I guess that's the most problematic thing we all have to face with occasionally, even when you're my age. You see, the mind is a trap, and yet it can be a wonderful blessing. If you understand repentance, repent means that you turn your mind somewhere else. Get away from that. Don't pay penance. You see, if you've had to pay penance, then the blood of Christ has no effect. You see the catch there? You go to the priest, he confesses it, and he gives you something to go pay your penance. Maybe it's just Hail Mary three times or something like that, but it's a penance. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing from every sin. Well, to repent means to recognize that fact. It's all under the blood. So your mind wants to be turned away from that. That's what repent means, turn. It'll never get to the emotional side then. When you get down to the emotion, that's where the problems begin. When you have just the first appearance outwardly, that's an intellectual thing. It's easier to deal with right there. You better deal with it there too. Now, that in your memory, when you meet with him every day, what are we meeting about? You're meeting to deal with the facts of life. You say, Lord, I just listened to Mac last Sunday. He said, you know, when I look on a woman to lust, or if a woman looks on a man to lust, it first begins here. And I want to repent of that right now, because I don't want it to get down to the heart stage if I get too emotionally involved in it. And then I ain't no telling what I'm allowed to do. See? It's like a seed you plant in the ground. If you water it, it's going to cause trouble. See? These are the things you talk over with the Lord when you meet with him every day. You're not surprising him, I'll guarantee you. He knows all about it. And automatically it comes back. Well, son, I'm glad you talked to me about this, but remember, the efficacy of my son's blood cleanses from every sin. It keeps on doing that. Don't worry about it. You've talked about it. Forget it. Okay? The next day, same thing happened. Well, you've got another meeting tomorrow. You better do that. See? These are very practical things. I want you to see that. That's what it means to set your affection on the things above. Because if you don't, you let these things slide, you know, then we begin to have depressions and bad feelings. And one, see, God had, look it down in verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, to be the umpire. Do you have peace about this thing that you talk to him about? Do you really believe it's under the blood? You had peace? Listen to Paul. Listen to the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Forgetting those things. All those things that the old man... Now notice, this is a battle between the old man and the new man. That's why I said, put off what? The old man, that's in verse 9. No, let's see. Yeah, verse 9. Anyway, and you need to put on the new man. This battle is between yourself. The energy. There are just two energies in this life, beloved. One is being energized from above, and the other from the pit. If you see a beautiful woman, and she's not attracted, and she isn't, you're attracted by her looks, that's very normal. Not anything abnormal about it. But don't act like you don't know anything about it. You don't have to get a sex education to understand that. Stop it where it begins, right here. And your affections then will begin to lean toward other things, you see. Now notice, he goes right on down the line. Uncleanness. There's lots of ways. I'm not talking about dirty hands or if you didn't wash your feet or something like that. That's not what God's talking about. That has nothing to do with you being clean or unclean. It does to the public, but I mean it. And, of course, you don't want to get so dirty and smell bad, but that has nothing to do with God. See, we're talking about unclean things in your life that don't have anything to do with that pretty woman. Just the normal run of things. It's unclean in God's sight. And they have to do with the more the heart than they do just with the mind. They get down into the emotional aspect of things. People have dreams then. We keep in mind that verse 15 tells us the peace of God is the umpire. You know what an umpire is? You've been to a baseball game? Listen to the umpire. That's the old, here's the ball game we're in, the old new man, or the war, if you want to call it. Whatever you call it, a rose by any name smells the same way. It's a rose, it's a rose, it's a rose, it's a rose, it's a rose. See? Inordinate affections, that's passions. Well, I think as you get older, your passions kind of fade away, but it's a problem to younger people, you know. It's a problem to all people, too. Don't get over enthusiastic about your passions in whatever field of life you're in down here. There's people who become so passionate for power. There's people who get passionate for money. It isn't always sex. There's a lot of sex in it, but I mean, there are different aspects of desires, you see. And they all begin here. And the three realms to stop it in is in the field of repentance. Not paying penance, but repentance. Allow the energy of God to flow in such a way that your mind is turned away from those things, changed. And the heart. And the will. The will is the last thing that acts. When it acts, you're in bad shape unless you made the right choice. See? There, perhaps I should inject this. There are four stages in your Christian walk. There may be more, but you can recognize these. There's the baby stage, carnality. And every decision you make is very selfish. It's to please you. Whereas, I remind you again in Philippians, it's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But the baby state is always one, just consider yourself. That's all you're considering. That's a baby state. And then the next stage is a life after, in the way of growth. As you move out of the baby stage and you're not altogether concentration just on self, but when you make a mistake, and you make them plenty of them, then you try to justify it. You're not honest with yourself. That's a bad stage to go through when you lie to yourself. And then the next stage is a viral. It's up and got both my guns on and I got the power. I'm going after them and that's all there is to it. I'm calling a spade and I don't give a damn what anybody says. This is what God wants and I'm going to do it. You know, that's a pretty common stage. And then your stage, I guess you call it the father stage. You look back at your own mess And you begin to see some of the compassion. You need to be a little bit compassionate, you see. There's in between these things, you understand. And you begin to think about things a little different. Now, I'm not talking about a bleeding heart. In other words, let me illustrate what I'm saying. I noticed on the news last night, a fellow named Hawthorne, sentenced to death, you know. Did any of you see the news last night? Hawkins, yeah, not Hawthorne. And he came out, he said, you know, I think it's a good decision. I deserve to die. Well, I don't think he was saying that just to be talking. You think that's terrible what he did, and it was terrible. And you read into the gory details of it. It was awful. He said, I deserve to die. I'm not fit to live. See? Well, you got to have a little feeling for a man who, he's not trying to get out of it now at all. He's guilty as hell, and he wants it done because he deserves it. And I'm not trying to get him out of being executed. I think he should be executed. And he knows it. He knows it too. He agrees with that. See? But you got to consider that, you know. I mean, not to get him out of what's coming. You don't be a bleeding heart there at all. But you got to recognize that and respect it. It's when the man who is guilty, just as man is, and the other fellow got 5 life sentences. That's ridiculous. But anyhow, they're both guilty as they can be, you know. That shows how a man weighs things out. But you can have compassion for somebody like that. See? As you know, he is going through fire and hell right now without even dying yet. He's really under the gun. And we shouldn't rejoice to see. God does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. We shouldn't either. We shouldn't be a bleeding heart about it either. It's a reality of life, you see. When you beat a man, don't spit in his face then and say, you dirty so-and-so, you know, you got what you deserve. Well, he got what he deserves, so let it ride. That's it, you know. You don't stomp it in the ground. Why? Because you are exercising authority that you don't have. See? That's why it tells you to notice in the old man. This is what that all come put off anger and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. See, you put these things off. Vengeance is mine, God says. Don't try to rob God of the vengeance. It's His prerogative, not yours. In reality, if you deserved everything you got, you'd be executed tomorrow down on death row. I tell us on Jack, he's not here now. If he were, he'd laugh with me too, because he said he got sent to the penitentiary. You know, that's how we got in down to Big Springs. He was mad at them because they sent him to penitentiary because what they sent him for, he didn't do. I said, well, that's true, Jack. But I said, if you got sent here for the things you did do, you'd be a lot worse off. And he laughed. He said, that's right. He had so arranged things with his lawyers that he had a an alibi for everything he was doing. So what they did, they trumped him on a trumped up charge of fraud. And what they charged him was he wasn't guilty of. And they just did that to get him in the pen. They couldn't catch him legally. They knew he was doing things, but they couldn't catch him at it. So they trumped him up, and that's how they got him. And there's a lot of people down there like that. Now, they're just mad as old wet hen when they get down there that way. But they fail to realize that they deserve much worse than what they got. Just tipped them on the wrong charge, that's all. You see, as you begin to see these things, that you've truly risen with Christ, and your rights all stimulate there in the heavenlies, and your affections are there, and you realize the battle that's going on between the new creature in Christ Jesus and the old man or the old nature. If anybody hasn't read Bullinger's work on the two natures, let me admonish you. I guess we need to get some more copies of those to read it. It's a wonderful book. It shows the dual man, the new and the old. And the battle goes on as long as you're in this body. And this is what this is all about here, this warfare. And you got an umpire judging the whole thing. So don't try to make excuses. Be a realist. See? And recognize, notice how it gets into everything of life. He begins first with the very commonplace, the fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, confusion, and covetousness. You want something that belongs to somebody else. You know. That's what it, what is it? That's adultery. Think about that. Then it moves into the other realm of our outward expressions, our anger, our malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Now, it doesn't just tell you about these things, but it tells you also in reference to these things, don't let the sun go down on these outward, this rough, see? Be sure your accounts are straight when you lay your head down at night. And you'll talk about this with the morning when you meet with the Lord about for the new day. It'll be a lot easier in that meeting, you see. This is very practical. You want to know what God wants you to do? This is what he wants. It's a far cry from what people think about. You want to be a big shot or something like that, maybe. There's nothing wrong with that. If God really energizes you that way, be sure he's doing it, though. But this is what really God wants right here. This means a daily inspection of every facet of your life. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now notice, what verse is that? Oh, Ephesians. Well, it's still, the thoughts are all here. Yeah, that's in Ephesians. I'm sorry. But, you see, these outward things, God knows you're going to be involved in. But your life is hid. Oshman, your life is hidden with him. That's the new creature. The old man is dead. And you've died as far as the world is concerned. Your life is now hidden with Christ, you see. And this is the warfare you're living in. Now, at the end of the day, don't let the sun go down on your wrath and these things. See? Then when you begin the new day to get your marching orders, like it's right over here on the wall, if you don't know those two verses, memorize them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, that's for this adult walk today, I've got certain ways and things I'm going to do. Just acknowledge him about it, and then he'll cut your path for this day. At night, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. talked about that. Go to bed, sleep good, you get up the next day, and we meet for the marching orders of the day. For it's God who works in you. And that word work is energizes. He energizes in you. Just be alert where you are. And all the time, keep in mind, you've got an umpire to rule. And so you'll have what? The peace. If you don't have the peace, boy, something's wrong. I got to look. What broke the peace? You'll find out if you don't know. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's come. The peace has been broken. You're in a bad mood. It shows too. See? You're hurting. Peace is broken. God knows it before you do. He's just sitting there waiting. Now, in light of all these things, there's so much I need, but we just want to get down to the last verse. Now, if you're honest with God and meet Him on these terms, then notice, whatsoever you do in the word or deed, then do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My old grandmother said, she quoted from the Proverbs, whatsoever your hand finds, do it with all your might. Put your whole force into it. There's your will now coming in. Why? Because you have peace with God, you can go full steam ahead. You know where you are. If you have peace. And if you're carrying out these things, not as a matter of having to do this, but because you desire to please Him, you'll have peace most of the time. And when the peace is broken, it won't stay there very long, because you realize constantly the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing in every situation. That's for your benefit, you see. He lets you know that. Well, we're going to stop. I guess we shouldn't have taken so much material there, but I think you get the gist of it. It's a very practical lesson. And I pray that you pray that God will enable you to be practical about it. Father, thank you again for this privilege and the fellowship here. We'll just go our own way at this time until next week as you bring us back. And this for Christ Jesus' sake. In His name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.